Hey, what's up, everybody? Welcome back or welcome to the Building Efficiency Podcast presented by Nenny and Associates. I'm your host, Jim Schaefer. Now, if this is your first time tuning in, Nenny and Associates is an executive search firm focused on the building efficiency industry, hence why we named the podcast the way that we did. Simply put, we help our clients find the right talent. Each week, we sit down with leaders from the industry to discuss their backgrounds, how they got started, and where they see the industry heading. We also get to know our guests and find out what drives them to be successful. And on today's episode, episode 87, we sit down with Charlie Lodica. Great conversation with Charlie as we discuss his path towards becoming an electrical engineer. And Charlie gives us an overview of the current organization that he's running in TechSite and some of the complex and challenging projects they've been able to accomplish over the years. And as we discuss the future of the industry, Charlie provides us with some really interesting perspectives on the evolution of AI as it relates to mission-critical facilities. So super interesting stuff there. And as usual, be sure to stick around until the end to hear about Charlie's daily non-negotiables and what motivates him at this point in his life. Now, if you haven't done so already, be sure to subscribe to our channel and consider downloading this episode and future episodes. This is really the only way that we can track how many people are listening. So if you're still streaming the episodes, I urge you to consider hitting that download button instead. Now, if you enjoy this episode, please share it and leave a 5-star review on our page. So we think you're really going to enjoy this conversation between Charlie and me. So let's drop in. Hey everyone, welcome back to the Building Efficiency Podcast. Today we're sitting down with Charlie Lodica, who is the president with TechSite. Charlie, welcome to the show.
All right, thank you, Jim. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, I'm glad we made this happen. So if you could, let's just dive right into it. Tell us, before we get into TechSite and everything you guys are up to, tell us a little bit about your background, kind of where you grew up, and then how you got started in your career.
All right, yeah, I can do that. All right, so I was born and raised in Cleveland, Ohio. Went to school got my electrical engineering degree from Ohio Northern University, small little Division III school here in Ohio, kind of northwest part of the state. Got my first job straight out of college at a local architecture and engineering firm. We did a lot of grocery, retail, prototype rollout stuff. It was good experience from the construction side. I got to learn, got involved in a ton of projects, did a ton of AutoCAD. Got to go around the country and travel to different cities and do site visits. I was that young guy that, you know, they were perfectly willing to, you know, send all over the country. So I was perfectly willing to do that. Got a lot of experience there. Ultimately changed jobs. After about 5 years there, I went to, and that's where I first got into the mission critical industry. Went to a pretty large kind of international firm that had a lot of different companies. That was my first taste in the mission critical world. We worked on a variety of data center and call center and the like projects for customers, really around the Ohio and Indiana and Kentucky regions. And then I joined TechSite in 2015. I really kind of was just a little bit done with the corporate world and a lot of the red tape associated with that. I wasn't really looking. I was happy where I was at, by all means. Good work, good people. But it just was time for a change. I talked to Jim Schrader, the current owner and former president of the company. And it was just felt like the right fit to make that change. I love the small company feel and kind of took a risk and made the change and haven't looked back. So it's been great. Been there 7.5 years now. A lot of good experiences there.
Excellent. So I want to just go back for a second. What drew you into the electrical engineering field in college? Like, was there something about your background and growing up, or did you always have an interest there? Or how did you land and ultimately get your degree in that field?
Yeah, I mean, so my dad worked in the power plant industry for years. So there's certainly a link there. He was kind of a boilermaker, civil structural engineer. Worked a lot of the pressures and boilers and coal plants and nuclear plants around the Cleveland area. So there's a link there, certainly. As the internet kind of boomed and everything, I was one of the kids that built computers and I was super into computers and electronics. So I actually started as a computer engineer. And it was a little bit too much programming for me. I liked the hardware. I liked the tinker side of things. So after my freshman year, I made a change to electrical engineering. yeah, I just never looked back after that. So it was just a really good small school to learn it and grow. I'm glad I went to a small school. I don't know if I would have been successful in engineering at a bigger school. Just my personality and having the ability to meet with professors and having a good core group of classmates and everything there in Ohio Northern.
No, I was just curious. I know our industry certainly needs more good electrical engineers. So
yes, we do. I agree. Yeah, they're hard to find.
Yeah, we just got to start to widen the funnel a little bit there. So that's what I was curious about it. So great. So tell us a little bit more about TechSite. You know, just I know you touched on it there, but tell us about the organization. You know, how you guys are going to market and just how you're positioned today.
Okay. Yeah, I can do that. Yeah. So we're a design build engineering firm. We design, build, operate, and maintain mission critical facilities, that being primarily data centers. We also dabble in call centers and control centers. We really focus on mission critical. We don't do anything else. So we advertise ourselves as mission critical specialists, right? We could really do anything. We have, from soup to nuts on the data center side of things, from the site assessment, acceptable design, even site selection, all the way through detailed engineering. We do construction management, maintenance management, facility operations, a little bit of everything from, we're a small company. We only have about 30 people, but we have a lot of different service offerings. You can do it all inside the data center in the mission critical world. So, we really operate referral based. We always have kind of existed that way, right? We just take care of our customers and they take care of us. We really look for opportunities to add value in everything we do. One of our newer service offerings is commissioning. Some commissioning agents, not to down anybody out there or anything, but they kind of become a little bit checklisty and they're not adding a ton of value. They're a person on there to run through a checklist and say, yes, this passed, yes, this passed, yes, this failed, right? We look at that as an opportunity for us to step into the market and say, we really want to do this better. We want to add value to the customer, but we want to be that engineer, that representative looking out for the best interest for the customer and say, hey, and work with the contractor and work with the GCs on site, say, hey, yeah, this worked, this worked. Hey, this didn't work. Why? Right. Take it to the next level. Let's try to dissect that. And at TechSite, we have a lot of unique experiences, I would say, with our construction management team and how involved we are in construction and testing side of things a little bit more than your traditional, AE engineering firm or anything like that, MEP engineering firm, that we just have a lot more knowledge of how the equipment works, its modes of operations, its ways it can fail. We just have a lot of experience in those types of things, but we've seen it, we've lived it, and we can help our customers solve it. So, we're always looking for opportunities now to kind of grow and be better at marketing ourselves, but we've really always lived on a referral base. We take care of our customers. And like I said, they go.
Maybe we should get you on a podcast. What do you think?
Maybe.
Podcast or something.
That sounds good, Jim. Let's do it one day. So yeah, good opportunity for it. So,
all right. Very good. Very good. I was curious, and I know we didn't talk about this beforehand, but like when you reflect back on your 7+ years here, you mentioned the mission critical nature and what you guys are doing. Is there a project that sticks out that was like, man, that one was really fun, or that was complex, or this was a big challenge a customer had brought to us, we hadn't tackled it before, and you put your engineering mindset like, hey, we're going to figure this thing out. Does anything come to mind? I'm curious.
Yeah, a couple issues come to mind. First off, just when one of our bigger projects, we built a transmission control center for a utility company. So again, it was kind of a control room, in a brand new build. Was one of the biggest project I had personally done, and one of the bigger ones that TechSite had done as well from the ground up. So it was just cool to work with. Working in Revit, working with a third-party architect, civil engineer, structural engineer, done a lot of that separately before, but not really from the ground up. So that was a really cool, challenging project in a lot of ways to see it all come together. I think it was very successful. So from that aspect, I do like projects that have a lot of challenges and voice, but the customer was awesome to work with. The GC was great out there. Electricians were easy to work with. So we all worked really well as a team together to get through that project, and that doesn't always happen. I've been in projects, we have very adversarial relationships with, contractors on site and stuff. And we just get past that by being part of the team right on the forefront and just showing them, hey, we're here. We want to get it done just like you do, and try to just solve problems as they come up together. Couple other unique times that when I had to kind of more put my engineering hat, we had a UPS was on a site out in Denver, Colorado area, and I had to go out there like five different times. That's why I remember it. Right. And always when we have these type of issues and problems, right, we can't do them on a Tuesday afternoon. We have to do them on nights and weekends. So it's a challenging part of our work, but also kind of a cool, interesting one. But I was out there several Friday nights and Saturdays and Sundays trying to figure out what was wrong. So we had this UPS. We had just replaced the UPS and the transfer switch and things of that nature, and we were testing it. When we transferred from utility power to generator power, everything would work fine. Battery would discharge. It would take 10 to 20 seconds or so if we're actually transferred to the generator, and our UPS rectifier input breaker would trip open, right? And we could not figure out why. Right? That's not supposed to happen. It should transfer back to utility, and everything should work fine. So. Right. We had the tech there. We just had to, it kept happening. So ultimately, right, we had to couldn't put this system live completely. We had to come up with a temporary fix and got around that. I had to come back and forth a couple different weekends in a row there over the course of a month. So that's why it's one of those things that really sticks out. But ultimately, we got a power quality meter on the site. We kind of basically reduced it to, hey, we're getting some, voltage on the ground and what causes that. Talk about that for a little bit. And there's a neutral to ground bond somewhere in the system that we had to find is going to be, ultimately diagnosed it as. So went downstream to some PDUs, right? Kind of went step by step. All right, eliminate this area, eliminate this area, eliminate this area, going through the system, ultimately isolated it to a single power distribution unit in their MDF room that had a, miswired surge protective device in an SDVSS. And it was wired and it was causing a neutral ground bond that the UPS didn't like, right? The older UPSs, they didn't care about it as much. They're a little more tolerant to things like that. Newer technologies, when you get into more sensitive electronics, they just didn't tolerate it as well. So it wasn't anything we touched in the system, but it was just one of those kind of lessons learned. You're like, oh, this is kind of stuff that you're going to run into with some of these newer technologies. They're nice compact UPSs, all electronics, but the old iron systems can tolerate some power quality issues and stuff quite a bit better than the new system.
So for any of the non-engineering, electrical engineering folks out there that are wondering what all these acronyms are, don't ask me. Yeah. No follow-ups to me. We'll put Charlie's information in the show notes, and we'll make sure he can address those for you. All right. No, that's cool. And I was curious about that, kind of the complex, interesting projects as a way to kind of like set us up to kind of look into where you see the industry heading, right? If you fast forward, 5, 10, 15 years, where do you see the industry going from a technology standpoint, from a client standpoint? What's your viewpoint there?
Yeah. One big thing we're paying attention to is artificial intelligence, right? Oh, yeah. Where is that going, right? In the data center world, AI, it's the big thing.
Yeah.
Right. And the biggest part of it is, is power and resources requirements. They say that an average AI search takes 4 to 5 times the amount of power that a typical Google search does. So you think about the whatever 8.5 billion Google searches there are every day, multiply that by 4, along with all the other search engines and everything out there and other applications where this could ultimately get to. And there's a limit somewhere, right? What is it? And how do we get past that? So, the future, I do believe, is in AI and integration and applications. I'm not sure how fast that will happen, right? There's some limitations and a bit of a ceiling, I think, that the technology has to get through, right? Again, getting these into these hyperscale data centers and, right, one day this might be in all our apps, right? Is it going to be in your Outlook? Is it going to be in Excel? Is it going to be in every mobile app on your phone? And all those data searches and everything just multiply. Well, all that processing power needs to come from somewhere. It comes from these data centers, right, that are pulling a lot of energy and everything off the grid right now. And how do they get past that? So then the flip side of that is a lot of these companies are trying to build the more sustainable data center. I know this would kind of appeal to, a lot of people listen to this podcast, I believe, but Yeah, you know, building sustainable data centers, a real talks out there. And some people are doing or efforting to it, right? But they take a lot of power. They use a lot of water, one or the other or both, right? Depending on design approaches you take. Those are kind of two main resources. And again, with AI and the increase of that and everything, that's it's only going to get more difficult in building that sustainable data center. And invite people to kind of look up what Google's doing about it. It's kind of cool. They're kind of just setting an example to build that carbon-free data center. They've actually done it in some ways. They have a plan to be completely carbon-free by 2030. I think it was in like 2017, they went completely, they purchased enough renewable energy basically to offset all of their electricity consumption, every day. So, and I think even since they purchased enough to retroactively offset every carbon, all their carbon output prior to that. So it's kind of cool. Some of the things they're doing, they're, wow, they're kind of setting the standard on that front. But it takes, the energy consumption and everything, as I said, with AI is only going to go up, right? And what does that do to the challenges of these companies? They're going to see building these hyperscale data centers, in neighborhoods, right? They're going all over in Columbus. Again, I'm in Columbus, Ohio here. Amazon, Google, Meta, they're all here, right? And they're all in all parts of town, right? And there's you can go sit on a little zoning board meeting and everything, and they talk about having water issues, right? Where's all this water coming from, right? You're going to take a billion gallons of water a day or whatever it is, right? We only have this much left at our local plant. So there's caps and limitations, and that's deciding where these data centers go, right? Who has those resources for us? But I believe honestly that they are trying to be build the more sustainable data center. They have to keep up with AI and put these in all over the place. Wow. We'll see where it go. It's kind of super interesting, but yeah, sustainability and AI are the two big things I'm paying attention to and we're watching.
Yeah, that's fascinating. And, I'm sure we could spend a whole podcast just talking about AI and its role in the industry and where it's going to go and where it's at now. And it is a big topic of conversation, very interesting. Well, let's, Charlie, let's go to the last part of the show here. These are the same four questions I asked every guest who comes on, and wanted to lead off with what are your daily non-negotiables?
Yeah. I mean, obviously, you sent these to us beforehand. We talked about them. So I had to give this one quite a bit of thought. Like, really, what are my daily non-negotiables, right? I'm a father of three, right? I've got three young kids, age 9, 7, and 4. So that's where my head always goes. That is my family first and everything. But I could say that, but I go, is that truly my non-negotiables will always be my children and everything has to do with them. But, in the face, like, what is it I really need, like, every day? And I just need some me time, right? It's tough being a dad. Right. And, running the small company and be responsible for, a lot of people. But, I've got a wife and three kids. Sometimes I just need some me time. So when I think about it, right, I get up in the morning before my kids get up. I just need 30, 60 minutes by myself. Right. After my kids go to bed, I need 30, 60 minutes, to hang out with my wife, after the day is done. So those are kind of what I would say are my true daily non-negotiables. So
I love it
for every day.
Simple but not easy, right? That's usually the theme here.
Absolutely. Yeah, I can't say it happens every day by all means, but I try to make it happen.
There you go. Well, maybe this podcast will be that catalyst to make it a true non-negotiable, right?
Just
saying it out loud here. So that's great. All right. So what advice would you give to your 22-year-old self? You're coming out of college.
I would say just be confident in what you know. Be confident in yourself. Be willing to speak up and challenge thoughts and what people say, right? I was always kind of a quiet kid, believe that or not, or everybody who knows me, but I wasn't always willing to speak up mine. And when I thought I knew something and just wasn't willing to, take that risk, I guess, and put myself out there. So say be confident, kind of just, lean into difficult conversations, be willing to have those conversations with peers and bosses and subordinates and everything, and kind of embrace that vulnerability, right? That's one thing I think I just kind of learned through my career is, that stuff's going to happen. You got to be willing to have those conversations, good, bad, or otherwise. You're smart, you're talented, you know this, be confident, and don't be afraid to have those conversations. Those people can help you too, right? So
Yeah. What motivates you? What gets you out of bed in the morning?
I kind of touched it already on it already, but my kids, my family, right? I honestly try to do, make every decision, for my kids and my family. A lot of it, a lot of decisions are taken out of my hands, right? My life is run by my children. So I don't have a lot of control of certain aspects of it, right? I'm the dad. I can, in theory, responsible for all of it. But I'm absolutely motivated by my kids, my children, and my wife and family. So most every daily decisions I have kind of go through them.
I love it. And what last question here, what do you want your lasting legacy to be?
I just kind of, I look at life as a relay race, and I know there have been some people out there that have, I can't exactly quote them, but that I just need to run my leg of the race. And when I hand that baton to my kids, that I did the best I could, and, I put them in a better position than where I was, right? We're handed that baton in life, wherever it is, everybody sometimes in different places, just got to do the best you can and leave it as a better place where you started. So when I hand that baton to my children, at the end of my run, I just want it to be a better place and have them in a little bit better position than I was in.
All right. Well, I think that's a perfect way to wrap up the show here. So, Charlie, thanks for being a guest on the Building Efficiency Podcast.
Thank you for having me, Jim. It was a pleasure.
All right. All right. There you have it. Episode 87 with Charlie Lodica. I hope everyone enjoyed this episode as much as I did. And if you did enjoy it, please be sure to subscribe to our channel wherever you enjoy listening to your favorite podcast. We hope you're sharing this with your friends and colleagues as well. And one last thing, if you have any future guests in mind from the building efficiency or renewable energy industries, please reach out to us. We'd love to hear from you loyal listeners. So until next time, I'm Jim Schaefer, and we'll catch you on the next episode.